You're on.
Okay. My name is Jane Smith. I live in Bundaberg. The date today is the 11th, 2011. My story is going to be about, my story is going to be about, I had a very interesting thing happen to me in my life. My husband and I were privileged to go to Vanuatu. And why we were gifted this trip to Vanuatu was with Jeffrey's daughter. She showed me this letter. And this letter she showed me, she said, could you read this letter first? I read the letter and she asked my husband, Jeffrey, about him to do something in our life for us to get this letter. And I said, Jeffrey, if you don't do this, what she wants you to do, I'm going to divorce you. But I want to, and anyway, so Jeffrey said, what do you want me to do? And he said, his daughter said to him, oh, Dad, I want you to shave your beard off. And he said, oh, it must be good, something good in that letter if you want me to shave my beard off. And anyway, Jeffrey said, oh, if it means something on paper for me to shave my beard off, I don't need nothing on paper to shave my beard off. So he took off and done the disappearing act, didn't you, Jeffrey? And I said to our son-in-law, where's Dad? And he said, oh, I think he's in the bathroom. Anyway, he came out and he'd been in the bathroom, shaved his beard off, and we showed him this letter, and the envelope and the letter was a trip paid, accommodation, everything paid to Vanuatu. So we both, yeah.
Yeah. So my name is Jeffrey Smith, and I live in Bundaberg. And today's date is the 10th, 11th, 2011. And yes, this was how we got this trip to Vanuatu, and how blind faith led us to our story. And we knew, had some idea where Jane's roots of her mother came from. It was from the Tanna Islands. And we wanted to meet some of the Jane's people. We had no idea of how we were going to do it or how it was ever going to come about. But we were booked in for a few days in a resort in Tanna Island, and with this trip we had it was a bit of a trip up to the volcano that's erupting over there. And Jane had a lot of photos with her, and she was showing these photos around, and there was particular interest taken in one of the women that was in these photos with two other women, and that was of Hope, Jane's mum. Everybody wanted to know who this woman was, and Jane was saying, that's my mother. And the locals were all saying, hey, this Tanna woman here, this Tanna girl. And when we were on this trip to see the volcano, we stopped a few times along the way with small villagers singing songs of. And at one particular place we stopped, we recognised some familiar looking faces, and we were saying, oh, that looks like Ken, doesn't that look like John, oh, such and such. And so as we kept on going through these different villages up to see this volcano, I started feeling in my heart that, you know, we were close to something, you know, we were close to maybe finding where Jane's roots lived. And in doing this, we asked a lot of questions. We even asked ourselves a lot of questions. And all people could say to us, "You're Middlebush people. You're Middlebush people. You come from Middlebush." So we had a guide with us, and his name was Joseph. And Joseph came back to the motel with us, and we shared some stories. We had some details on Jane's grandfather, and Joseph took these and he said, "We'll see you in the morning and we'll go up the Middlebush and see if the we can meet up with some of the family." So in the morning we went down to the local store and we bought bags of rice, we bought different curries, we bought salt,
soap.
We bought, you know, a terrible lot of stuff, and we took it with us. And we never knew or what we were going to be in for or what was going to happen. But when we come to the village, the people were there and they were singing. They're talking to us about their village.
We got village names given to us. They wanted to adopt us into the village as coming back home. They gave Geoffrey and I both village names. Geoffrey's name was
Alamatua.
And my name was
Tess.
So we got baskets given to us. I got a traditional, what they call over there is a muumuu dress. We got gifts given to us and we were adopted into the tribe. And then while we were there, I asked the chief if I could get his permission. I had a piece of my mum's clothing. And I said that we didn't cremate her because it's not culture in Australia to cremate her. I wanted to ask them if I could burn her clothes and the spirit of my mum being back at Tanner Island. And they said we'd love to do it. We had a little ceremony where they burnt. I took a dress of hers over and we burnt it and made a little grave and done the ashes of the clothes and buried it. We had a little ceremony. And had dancing and singing and rejoicing and and it was so touching to meet to have that feeling. To it was like I belong there, and I could see with a lot of the people over there that I met that there was no doubt that they weren't related to me because you could see it within them and looking at them. We shared a lot of different stories. We met a couple over there when we went back to invited Joseph back for breakfast. We met this couple that asked for our permission for them to go to the same village we went to, and they was telling us about a shipwreck. We just shared so many different stories. It was just unbelievable, the stories we shared about our family wasn't it, Geoffrey? It was lovely.
Yeah, the faith that I call the blind faith. Mobile telephones are few and very far between.
No electricity.
Electricity is generated from their own power. At that time there was not many vehicles on that island to move us around. So most people walked on that island, and through the stories we heard about people, you know, they would walk, some people would walk up to 3.5 hours a day to go to their to work. One particular chap we met, he walked 2.5 hours either way to work every day, and that alone, you know, just through sheer determination, what people wanted to do and how they wanted to change their lives was, you know, had a big bearing on my life. The way people communicate over there was another thing that got me. As Jane was saying about the two couple from England, they were out here in a sailing boat and a cyclone comes through the island, and he had his boat moored and anchored fairly well, he said. But the wind shifted during the night. And that day, he was telling me he was in the village and his wife met a couple of the ladies from the village and they were talking and got to know each other. And that night when the cyclone hit, their yacht was torn off their moorings and the people who had the yacht, never knew where they were going or how they were. Didn't think they were going to live. They got washed up on these rocks, and the story was that this young lady from the village woke up and she heard that this woman was singing out for help.
She dreamt it,
and she woke most of the village people up, and they went down, and through using ropes and different other methods, they got this couple off the yacht. So the couple over there was, they had come back to repay the village people for what they had done for them 3 years ago when the cyclone came through and wrecked their yacht. And they were saying to us, you know, how do these people communicate? And this was the biggest thing of what we said, of how we found out they communicated and how they knew Jane was a tenor girl. She's a tenor woman, they're all saying. And we got to this village and we were talking with the chief and his sons and the women, and then another group of people come along and they all sat down and they listened to what stories were being told, and they asked us, do you know any other island people in Queensland? And we said, oh yeah, we know the Corowas, we know Yo-Yays. And with that, one of the guys said, oh, that's a Corowa person there. And another guy said, that's a Yo-Yo person there. And, you know, to see this guy, he stood up, he stood so tall, he stood so proud. And I said to one of the chiefs, I said, this person would be a very proud person. He would be a fast runner. And all these things I was saying, they say, yes, he is. Yes, he is. And so with that, you know, I started to take on board that, yeah, I think we have found Jane's people.
What about when we were up on the volcano and we were standing up there holding our hands and looking over at the volcano, and this bloke just come from nowhere, came ran right around the side of the volcano. Yeah, it was like an eagle bird yelling out, Tanner woman, Tanner woman, Tanner woman. I went, whoa, where did he come from? Yeah. Tanner woman. I said, how do you know I'm Tanner woman? He said, I got told, we found out you're Tanner woman. And that's just the things that happened to us over there. It was just amazing. And It was a blessing from God that what we achieved over there, and meeting my family, we were blessed very much, Jeffrey and I, and we shared a lot of things with my mum's family, and it was beautiful. It was like me going back, and I felt, being the youngest of eight children of my family, I felt that I owed this to my mum. I looked after her for 10 years. It was, I took her home. I was very blessed to do that, and I very much thank you. If I hadn't met Jeffrey and had Jeffrey in my life, I wouldn't have had this privilege from his daughter to go home to my mum's home. It was so beautiful.
The day we left, the day we left over there, we were all sitting around talking, and they wanted to know about where we live, how we lived. And Jane had her purse on her wallet, and she opened it up, and she was showing the village people, this is what we use for our money. We put this into our machine and push numbers in there, put numbers in there, and the money comes out to us in our hand. And they turned it over. They also looked at driver's licenses, different other cards that we had, that how we operate in our lives in Australia.
And I told them that I had, when I showed them all my cards and shared with them, it was my story. I showed them my security license. They said, your security card? I said, yes. And I said, I told them the role of work I do, beside my other jobs, I do security work. And I showed them my gun license. You have gun too. Can you bring gun over to Vanuatu and Tanner Island? I said, no, you can't do that. You're not allowed to do that. And I showed them all these cards and showed them how we lay by at home. And it was very, very interesting to them. And a lot of the Vanuatu people where we stayed at Lay Marine in Vanuatu, they thought Jeffrey and I, were millionaires. And I said, no, we're not millionaires, far from it. And I said, like to be, but we're not. And they said, but you got lots of jewellery and you got lots of this and you dress beautiful. And then I was telling them about my mum, what a proud South Sea Island Kanaka woman she was, and how she'd walked very high and dressed very beautiful, and she was proud of her culture. And they said, oh, but you millionaires. I said, no, we're not millionaires. And anyway, when Jeffrey and I had our last night at Tanner and we flew back to Vanuatu, we went to the feast they had on the beach where we actually stayed. And it all finished about 9:30, 10 o'clock anyway. We went back to the bar and we said to all the brothers and the sisters that waited on us that night with the feast, we sat around, had a few drinks, and we said to the boys, oh, don't worry about closing the bar, we're going to have drinks with you. And the Jeffrey was teaching them a lot of our naughty language back here in Australia, and teaching them what susus were and what naughty words, and about how what our language was to have a baby, and all the brother boys were all writing it down, susu and mundi and all these Australian naughty words. And when we got up the next morning, I couldn't find my glasses. That's right, I've lost my glasses. Oh, Jeffrey, I can't find my glasses. And we thought we were going to miss the plane. And I said, come on, we've got to hurry up and get going. And I said, we went downstairs. We said, we'll have to, don't worry about the glasses. We'll have to go because you know, we had to be out at the airport. And when we went downstairs and we had to fill this form out that I couldn't find my glasses, all the whole village knew about all these naughty words. It was so funny. They were all coming and saying, "Hooray, Brother Jeff and Sister Jane." And they were singing out all these naughty words that Geoffrey taught them that night before we left Vanuatu. They said, "Sisu, big Sisu, big Sisu." And I said, "Yeah, big Mundi, big Mundi." And I said, "Oh, Brother Jeff, he was naughty. He was teaching all these naughty words last night because he had too many to drink."
Yes, it's a thing, you know, of nothing was planned.
No.
Nothing was planned. We just went over there and hoped that we could meet up. And we did, and it changed a little bit of my life around, to understand, to see how other people in other nations and other world parts of the world live, how they survive.
Joseph still keeps in contact with us today.
Yes, and through this visit over there, we're now in Bundaberg here through the South Sea Island community. There's quite a few people that do come over from the islands there, and we then share with people, you know, the times that we had over there. And really, you know, when we now look back and say we did this, we feel good about it. It's a wonderful thing. It's something that I never thought I would be a part of at all. You know, my walks of life have taken me through a lot of different paths, and to meet up with Jane, share my life with Jane, to share different experiences with Jane, has been so richness, so much richness in my life today, she brings. And I always say, you know, to never ever judge anybody by any race, by any colour, by any creed, or by any religion. You know, just let it happen, and all everything, you know, good will come out of everything. And a lot of good has.
It just makes you appreciate, hey, Geoffrey, what we've got it here in Australia, to see them over at Tanner Island, you know, when we shared and bought all that food for them, and that, you know, they never even had a plate to put it in. They put the sugar and the rice and the salt and everything in big leaves.
Yep.
And they're very caring, touching, very humbled. They because we took it to Middlebush, the food to at my family's village, they share with all the villages along the track. Everything we gave them, they shared.
Mm.
And that's because they're such humble, and they haven't got a penny to bless themselves, but they're still giving and sharing and humble people.
Yep.
And that's, I'm very, very proud to have that from my mum's culture. And my mum is a very, very proud woman, and I've been told heaps of times, but I don't know whether it's true, that I'm a very proud person, but I don't look at myself as a proud person. But as long as I live, I want to still keep carrying my mum's what she's had in her life, has been a good worker, a good mother. And I try my best for my children and my grandchildren and for Geoffrey's children and his grandchildren. And I've shared a lot of my culture with Geoffrey's children.
Yes, and today in Bundaberg here, there's a lot of families from South Sea Island descendants. There's a lot of activities now happening in and around the Bundaberg area, and Rockhampton, Gladstone, not Gladstone, Mackay, and down on the sunny coast of the South Sea Island people now getting together and starting to become more organised and starting to become people of one. You know, through how would people think of back in the days when these people were brought to Queensland to as slaves, to work the fields, to make Bundaberg what it is today. And through Jane's brother, you know, it was always a thing with us whenever we went down to Bagara. You know, the rock walls that were always down there.
Kanaka walls.
Kanaka walls. And Desmond would say, you know, my father and my grandfather, they put all these walls up here. They built these. And then the sea, you know, in the river here today, the Burnett River, you know, the different rock groins that run out from the river. You know, and I see a lot of people in my work today, and, you know, I tell them about what the South Sea Island people have done for Bundaberg. I tell them about how through the adversity, how they lived, how they were treated, what they'd done to survive. You know, it's us Europeans, we think, you know, that...
A lot of people don't even know Kanakas exists. You working on the bridge, people say, you tell them that you're married to a sister, a South Sea Island woman, Aboriginal woman, and they say she's Kanaka girl and South Sea Island, and they ask you, what's that? They haven't heard of them.
Yeah. And it's a thing that will be lost. And if organisations like the South Sea Island organisation here in Bundaberg, that it never fails, that stories are passed on through generations that keep this dream that they have alive. You know, how important it is to Bundaberg that their forefathers, their foremothers have been. You know, the atrocities that happened to them. You know, a place called Anthony's Rest, Sir Anthony's Rest. He was the governor of Queensland, and he used to come up to visit to see how the landscape was being changed, how the rich volcanic soil around the hummock was being changed into the growing cane. And now today, you know, you see a lot of that rich soil has been covered with houses and concrete. And the fertility of the ground will not live again. You know, there's a lot of icons here in Bundaberg that the South Sea Island people have put in place, and they will be there for years. You know, we have a big monument that's near the bridge of Bert Hinkler, a great man that, you know, flew the world on a plane. You know, when you have a look at some of these rocks that are put along some of these walls and to see the size of them, and you say, how could they be lifted? How could they be taken out of the fields? And remember, we're not talking in modern day society, we're talking back in the turn of the 20th century, you know, where there was horse-drawn ploughs and a lot of things were done by hand. You know, these South Sea Island people that come over, that were brought over by the blackbirders, and how they were kept and changed and hog-tied, been taken away from their families.
Some of them changed their names because they didn't want to go back home. Like my mum's last name was Nagus, but they say Naguus. It was really Naguus, and they changed their names in different ways of pronouncing it because they didn't want to be sent back to Vanuatu. Mum's parents, so a lot of them changed their names. Meninga's, they changed their name. It was all different pronunciations that they didn't, a lot of them changed their names. Domics, they changed their name. So it was pretty hectic. They didn't want to, how they were treated over there, and they thought they'd come over here and have a better life, but they didn't have a better life. They were treated as slaves and got very little money for the work that they'd done. And yeah, it was pretty sad. And a lot of people in Bundaberg don't know this.
The basin. Yeah.
Kids go down there and swim, and they think, oh, this has got a little area to swim in, but a lot of people don't know the significance of it all, that was built by Kanakas.
To catch the fish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is a beautiful place to bring your kids in and swim. You know, it's like a little pool. You know, the kids ain't going to get washed out because all these rocks are around the outside of it, but they... A lot of Europeans don't realise that it was hard yakas from the Kanakas built all those walls, carried all those rocks, as Geoffrey said. Yeah, so I only wish my mummy was alive to share all these stories with me today, but God bless her, she's been gone 7 years now, and I just have to carry it on with my children and my grandchildren, and I hope I'll be a great grandmother one day to share it with him. Yeah, so yeah, that's all I've got to say, actually.